All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Community Services and Safety Committee meeting. It is March 1st. I think this is only our second meeting of the whole year, I feel like, which is seems crazy to me that we've only met twice this whole year. Anyways, Chief Whitwer was first on our agenda tonight, and he is not here yet. So we are going to start with the item number, agenda item number B, or not number, sorry, agenda item B, which is the co-responder pilot program, and Commander Rock is going to be giving us the update.
Thank you. Good evening. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dale Rock. I'm a commander with the Tukwila Police Department. I'd like to thank you all for allowing me a little bit of time to discuss this co-responder pilot program that we hope to implement. I believe it's important to point out that the program's consistent with the city's stated goals of being high-performing and effective organization with positive community and identity and image for the Tukwila community members. The police department recognizes that there is a need for collaboration of services when it comes to mental health and chemical addiction issues within the city of Tukwila. Our objective is to reduce the number of mentally ill and chemically dependent interventions that require jail and hospitalizations. The police department also recognizes the need for the diversion of mentally ill and chemically dependent youth and adults from entering the criminal justice system. Co-responder programs throughout the nation have been effective in reducing the number of people entering the criminal justice system while providing appropriate resources for them and their illnesses. The department needs to provide services that provide these appropriate, high-quality services for all of our community members. The co-responder program is a collaborative approach designed to address the city of Tukwila's desire to ensure Tukwila's mentally ill and chemically dependent residents, and that they have access to the community treatment in lieu of incarceration. This is specific to nonviolent misdemeanor offenses where the individual is identified by officers and confirmed by a mental health professional to be demonstrating behavior symptomatic of a mental disorder and/or a co-occurring disorder such as mental health behavior disorders and substance abuse. The goal is to provide crisis intervention services and refer to and promote treatment and, when possible, avoid incarceration and hospitalization. The program accomplishes this by, one, embedding mental health professionals within the police department who respond to calls with officers. Two, working with and educating officers in traditional methods employed by mental health professionals to de-escalate individuals demonstrating behavioral health concerns and assist them with identifying the symptoms. And three, ensure appropriate community services are assessed to facilitate diversion, including community aftercare programs for individuals who are diverted from incarceration. Providing immediate intervention followed by connection to long-term care and services will provide a sustainable model for the co-responder program. Often, police and fire personnel's role is to intervene immediately, de-escalate, and respond appropriately to each scene. The vulnerable community members need the wraparound care to continue beyond the one-time crisis call. This program will be a collective effort by our community members for our community members. This model will be sustainable and be a long-term solution for those who need more support than is currently available for our residents. So that being said, I know that Interim Chief Drever had the financials behind this, and he was going to provide some information on that.
Thanks, Dale. So we had earmarked, this program was put into place originally with Dale's help through Chief Linton, and we're following through with it, and we're honoring the commitment he had made by allocating $85,000 out of our seizure funds, our federal seizure funds, to put this pilot program together. So it doesn't impact the budget. However, it is something where upon proof of success, we're hoping to come back with a potential budget amendment at the end of the year to then fund it for 2022. Hopefully, the city as a whole will be seeing a little bit of a revenue increase as it relates to COVID getting under control and as we potentially free up some funding based on revenue, we might be able to tap into that. But that's not going to keep us from also looking at other funding sources, grants. We're also participating in a grant partnership with seven other cities, Des Moines, Kent, Auburn, Renton, on a co-responder program through them as well. We've already gotten the $250,000 for a six-month program. We're going to be looking for ways also to support that ongoing since it's only 6 months. However, this gives us two different resources for us to draw upon for this particular skill set. It then frees up officers to be able to handle other calls as well. Now, as it relates to any of the response by these individuals, it's as the title indicates, it's a co-responder. We'd respond with them so that we can make sure they're safe, but providing the resource of those individuals to be able to engage. And then potentially follow up with navigation after the fact, in which case law enforcement isn't needed for that and getting them the resources that they needed. So we're going to be allocating $85,000 from our federal seizure fund to pay for this. Right now, we are still in negotiations. We're a little delayed as it relates to the overage of anything past that $85,000. We've been working with Sound Mental Health, and they are looking to find some indemnity in the language of our contract, and we're trying to work out what that actually means, but we're not going to go above the $85,000. They already told us that they would cover that. It's just a matter of fine-tuning the agreement, and we should be able to move forward.
Thank you. We're going to go to council members for questions. I'll start with Council Member Quinn and then go to Council Member Edan.
I guess one question is, you know, we've kind of, I think this is a joint process partnership with the police department. Was there anything that maybe surfaced in your implementation of this process that you didn't expect, or that was cost savings, or did Sound Mental Health say, oh, I'm glad you asked, we have a program for that? So is there anything that has kind of come up in the implementation process?
Other than this is new for them as well. So nothing came up other than after initial discussions, just concerns about liability and making sure that they're covered and we're covered, and just really making sure that their staff would be safe in the process. So we're working through those. Hopefully in the next week or two, we should be able to finalize that and then move forward, which is why for the info memo, we're looking for authorization from this group to be able to have the mayor sign once we're able to get that contract in place.
And then maybe the second question, is there any state requirement for documentation on the use of these funds? Is there any kind of, have you got the record situation all worked out regarding that, just like the chain of custody of funds and why and how? And
yes, so the funds themselves are already cleared through state, through federal auditor, since these are federal funds, and have been issued to us for use. And we've had our financial analyst, Jake Berry, verify that the funds can be used for this. So we have been cleared to go. It's just a matter of, you know, tweaking and fine tuning all the details.
Councilmember Edan.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say I have a quick comment and maybe perhaps just a clarification. My comment is, you know, I'm glad, you know, you're working with a partner that are willing to take some hit and trying to work through us with this pilot program. So I want to say thank you to Sound Health. I just wanted to kind of get a clarification. If you are, you know, an officer on the street and you encounter someone that fits in this category, what sort of assessment and what sort of, background educational that they have that to for them to, you know, say, hey, I need that person, the co-respondent, to come here and interact with this individual.
Dale, do you want to take this one?
Right. I think that part of what we'll be doing is part of the process and part of this program will be the counselors, mental health professionals. Part of the system will be for them to train up our officers and so they can recognize whether or not it's a mental health issue versus a chemical dependency issue. So that is going to be budgeted into our program.
And I'll supplement that with, we're already taking state mandatory CIT training, crisis intervention training. It is not to the level that we would want for our officers, so we're doing our own training as well. We'll have more throughout the year. We did some last year, as well as we incorporate it into our reality-based training through our patrol tactics training, which was mandated via the LEXA and I-940. For us to work on how we engage to de-escalate. So part of that process is identifying the potential for somebody being in crisis and getting them the resources they need. The pilot program will bring one person on for a full-time shift, so they'll work 40 hours a week. We won't have them for the other periods of time. Hopefully that's where the partnership grant with the other agencies might supplement for us. However, while that person's here, they'll be able to respond within minutes. Even if we don't know what we have, the slightest indication that we're dealing with somebody in crisis, we can get them on board and bring them to the scene, and they'll be there within minutes. And they'll be able to make the assessment whether or not the person is actually in crisis or needs additional resources and help.
Yeah, no, thank you for that extensive response. You have a view of what the scope looks like, so I appreciate that clarification. One of the things I'm curious and I'll probably request is to see what the numbers look like at the end of the year to kind of see how many people and how many hours of education that this person would be facilitating with our officers. So I think that would be really good data to get as a deliverable from this body of work.
I agree. We're really excited to see the data come in. We know on its front end that this will be a valuable resource, but being able to analyze the data and provide that back to council so that we can see exactly how effective is going to be critical, especially if I'm going to be coming and asking you for money to support it, right? So we will make sure we keep you informed as we go, not just wait to the end. We'll keep you updated on how the program's running.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions.
I sort of want to build off of what Councilmember Edon was getting at in terms of creating measures even before the program starts of how we know that this program is effective. And I agree with you, it's going to matter to us if we are going to be reviewing it to want to continue this program next year. I mean, it is a pilot, and so we're really trying to test this out. But I think it's important for us to identify what are those measures. For example, the memo talks about reducing arrests, reducing criminal justice involvement. How are we measuring those things? And I agree also the number of hours of training that our officers are going through with you know, our partner with Sound Mental Health makes a difference. And even with those trainings, measuring the outcomes of the trainings, like, are there things that officers learned that they didn't know before? I think it's important to know those things and to identify those measurements even before we start. And I don't know if you have a plan for that already, because I think this is a really, really important program that we're doing, and I love that we are doing it and that it's happening in Tukwila. So really huge kudos to Commander Rock for, you know, spearheading this effort here. I'm really optimistic and excited to launch this and to be hopefully a model for other cities. But I think it's really important for us to really measure these important outcomes or come up with a way of measuring them as we go through this process. When you say you're looking for approval from us, what does that look like? Because I do think that this is, I'm of the opinion, I'm interested in what the other council members think, that this should be something that's maybe brought to a committee of the whole, because I know this was something that the other council members really wanted to see. And I think if we could also just get it out there to the community that we're doing this, I think that it's something positive, like a positive response to some of the, you know, the things that took place last year. We really are trying to make improvements to public safety, and this is one of them. So I don't know if I'm looking to Laurel, I'm looking to my other council members to see, to get your guys' thoughts about bringing this to committee of the whole, and maybe bringing it at a time when we can also talk about what some of those measurements are going to be in terms of how it's going to be measured to be successful.
Actually, if I can answer, I think the intent of the info memo was to ask to bring it before the council of the whole. I think I misspoke. I apologize. Which I agree wholeheartedly, getting the whole council involved on something as critical as this. Getting back to the measures, though, we haven't worked those out yet because we're still refining the agreement as to what the program looks like as it relates to just bringing a full-time staff member mental health professional on board, and we then want to include Sound Health in helping us develop what those measurements are as we move forward, because they, I mean, we're now talking their bailiwick as it relates to what those measurements might look like. I mean, I've got some ideas. I know Dale, he's our subject matter expert. He actually has a background in crisis intervention, and so I need to be able to rely, or the department needs to be able to rely on our subject matter experts, which include Sound Health. So we'll be able to be a little bit more forthcoming or have that information available as we get them on board and before we actually begin the program. We can establish what those measurements are.
Okay. Deshaun?
I'm supportive of what was just spoken, and I think there's this piece around data and data governance and HIPAA and all the above. I would think that those things need to be negotiated around, you know, what you would report and how you would report it, because it's not only Tukwila's reputation, but Sound Mental Health's reputation too. So I'd want that to be very thoughtfully negotiated. But, you know, those are kind of good things to kind of think about in potentially your future presentation. And then I would just say on the measures, maybe giving some economies of scale of kind of the average, the percentage of people that have challenges more globally, right, in the region, and then go from there. But I also think there's some probably internal conversations around what we think people we interacted with had mental issues, but we're not sure. So then figuring out the reporting piece there before you put a measure down, right? Because then it's you want it to be based on data that you can prove. So those are those two things. I'm glad it's coming before the council. We've already leaned on the intent in the budget process, so that's not a surprise. But you know, maybe also informing, you know, since we made the decision, here's what we found or uncovered or were enlightened or found. Theoretically, we've thought about these things, but here's what sound mental health data tells us, or, you know, so those pieces, but also being, you know, getting the green light to articulate those things.
Okay.
Jack, did you have any?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I do agree. I think recommendation with the request community approval for a pilot program through December 31st, and it's, you know, really great to get it to a committee. I think there may be some other ideas that can bubble up from there. So I concur your thought and bring in to the committee of whole. I'm just a little bit concerned that, you know, today's March 1st, so we lost 2 months already. So, you know, extending that, you know, if it was up to me, I would, you know, get it on to regular meeting so we could talk tonight with the whole council and then get feedback if that the process allows. I don't know if the process would allow that. It needs to be put together on the agenda and, you know, put notice and all that stuff. But yeah, I think having measurements and you know, having a very broad measurement before we implement it, it's a really great practice. I'm glad you are amenable to that. Thank you.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Zach, because that's a good point. Like, I don't want us to slow down your process. I want you guys to be able to start this. This is not to say this is a good program, definitely. So I don't know how that changes things, because I do think I would like to see something implemented sooner rather than later, and I don't want council to be the ones to hold up your being able to move forward. So I don't know what this looks like you.
Yeah, maybe Laura could tell us what's the best, fastest way to get in front of the council. If tonight could be a pass, then great. If next Monday is, then, you know, I'll defer that to Laura to tell us where's the fastest, best way to get it to the council.
Well, thank you, council members. I don't think it would be possible to, you know, have council act on anything tonight. You could certainly use the reporting period, Councilmember Della Stunas Johnson, to report out on what your committee discussed. Question for Commander and Interim Chief Drever, is there at some point going to be a contract approval coming before the council? Because this is over that $40,000 threshold. Is there a contract associated with this?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sound has a contract right now. That's part of what's slowing things up right now. So as soon as we get that signed, yes, it'll go to our legal team and then over to council.
So thank you. So there will be a council approval step required with that contract, independent of this committee discussion. So it sounds like things are moving. You're not slowing anything down. The committee is supportive. You can report out, and then the council will have an opportunity to take that final legislative action as soon as it's ready. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't think it's slowing us down, because we're going to need to take a look at, as you've mentioned, the performance measures ahead of time. And once we've agreed upon a contract, we can then engage in that and start putting together the fine-tuning, what the program, exactly what it's going to look like, what days of the week are they going to work, who is our representative that's going to be filling this position, and working with them to then get the measurements put together. And, you know, if we can be expeditious about getting the contract language done, whether it's signed or not, that then allows us to move on to the next phase, and perhaps we have more information for you by the time we get to that council meeting.
And so maybe when the contract is ready, don't bring it back to this committee, just put it on the whole council agenda. It doesn't have to come through committee again. Does that sound good, Zach and Deshaun?
I think so, but then we have a protocol. I don't think it's so. One thing that comes to mind is we got two bites at this issue. One, we can expedite it and kind of get it ready to move forward. The second is the contract, which could be an opportunity to hear more about the measures and what the contract language is. So I would generally say, I wouldn't be opposed to that coming back to the committee because it's consistent with our process, and it's an opportunity to learn more. Maybe, you know, interim chief or Commander Rock actually has some of the measures after they negotiated with Salmon Health, so it'll also kind of inform that a little bit. So that's what I would say. I mean, again, I'm not opposed to it not going through, but it's two times that we get to talk about this for the community, and I think that's a value, and that allows a benefit that I think initially was brought up by you, Councilmember De La Shunas Johnson.
Okay. That sounds fine to me. I can, you know, work with Laurel on what makes most sense in terms of timing, and if there's an opportunity to come through this committee again, then we'll take it.
Yeah, you can even plan for it to be at the committee and then at the next, and we can time it where it can go on a regular meeting where you have enough time to note it. So have it in committee and then have it right to the maybe a special meeting or something. Like, so we can plan that.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Any more questions? All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We will move on next to an update on Fire Department COVID-19 testing and vaccines. Chief Whitwer.
Hello, council members. Thank you for entertaining us for a few minutes this evening. I've brought up our presentation that I'll just be going through real quickly. There'll be three of us that will participate in this presentation, myself, Chief Golden, and then I've invited Kathy Browning, who is our site manager there at the COVID testing site at Church by the Side of the Road in the parking lot right next to it. So to begin with, if you'll turn to our PowerPoint, I'll jump down to page 5. Which covers the COVID testing site. Again, just a reminder that began in October. We have had numbers as high as 900 per day, and now we are kind of hovering around between 1 to 200 a day. At this point, I would like to turn the time over to Kathy Browning. She is our current site manager, and she will share just a few things with you. Are you still online, Kathy?
Yes, I am. Hi, good evening, everyone. I thought I would just bring you live from the parking lot of the test site, which actually we just closed things down about 30 minutes ago. So as Chief Whitwer said, we are running right now about 200 tests a day. Definitely, we don't want people to forget that we're open here. But with the slower numbers coming in, people coming in are getting their results in within like 16 to 17 hours. We tell them 24 to 48 hours when they come through here. We've done a couple of interesting things in the last week here. We've been part of a comparison study where people have voluntarily offered to do the regular tests that the tests are given by a firefighter, EMT. And so we do their tests as we normally would. and then they're doing a dry swab comparison, where then we give the patient another separate test, walk them through how they would do their own test, and the lab that we're working with is comparing positives that come back to see if people, in fact, could get similar or the same results doing the test themselves. So the hopes of that, what it's my understanding that they are just looking at other ways to offer testing to people. Right now, the test site is contracted to be up here in the city through the end of April. And I've heard that it probably will be here longer, but they are looking at these other ways that they can make testing available to people that it's not convenient for them to drive in. So, yeah. Other than that, does anyone have any questions?
Council members, do you have any questions? Thank you so much for being here and for all that you do and even showing us live what's going on right now.
Well, it's pretty quiet now. And I will just tell y'all at the last big that we have weekly meetings on Thursdays where our lab and the county, we get together in a meeting with them. And our positive rates, just so you know, are right just under 6%. So they've been pretty much just under 6% for the last couple weeks. And so, yeah, I wanted to throw that in there. I didn't want to forget that part.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I think you talked about, one, thank you for the work that you do. And we are really excited about it. And it's great to actually have a live view. okay. When you talked about 200, have you seen a significant dip or a significant increase, I would say, in the last little while, or is it pretty steady around 200?
So a test per day, I'm going to call it an average two, because it seems like on Mondays is usually a higher test number day, but there are some days we're seeing 120, 137. So I'm just calling it an average of two, and it definitely, the number of tests done reduced significantly after starting in the new year, really. So there's no way to tell for sure. I mean, some people I think are just really excited and ready to get vaccines, but definitely, just so y'all know, I mean, that obviously the testing is here. And I think we try to be good about getting the word out. People don't have to have appointments to come here. They can just show up. We can get them registered on site. But just back to your question, I don't know about why the big dip in the lower number of tests, but they haven't, it's been averaging about that. I mean, maybe even more of like a 175 per day. I should have done my math a little more accurately.
That's okay. We believe you. Council Member Edon, do you have any questions?
Yeah, no, thank you. Appreciate the presentation and the chief. My question is around outreach to the community for vaccinations. How are you, it says that you have a master list that has been started and connection has been made, and location will be prioritized by locate by population and needs. And that's, you know, I don't have a view what that master list looks like. Maybe can you talk to us about what
you
that...
You know what, Council Member Edan, I will turn the time over to Chief Golden at this time, where he'll cover the vaccinations and our efforts that are going on, as well as give you an update from today's activities. So, Firefighter Browning, thank you for coming to us live from the testing site. You did a wonderful job. I appreciate your efforts. I know you have plans this evening, so we'll let you sign off. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll turn the time over to Chief Golden to cover the vaccination efforts. Chief Golden.
Thanks, Chief. Good evening, council members. Thanks for having me today. And I want to give Firefighter Browning a quick shout out. Not only is she doing a great job there at our testing center, but she provided a paramedic for the launch of our vaccination program this morning. And it was fantastic. Paramedic Brandt was part of King County Medic One. He's one of our partner agencies. And he worked all day, barely got time for lunch. He really was an asset. So I want to thank Firefighter Browning made that happen and was kind of a gift out of nowhere. So that's fantastic. To get to your specific question, the county has a master list of facilities. And they're broken down into like adult family homes, senior housing, anything that has any type of registry with the county. And so that's where they started. And on that list, they broke it down by the city. And so I was able to carve out Tukwila. And what I found is their list had about half of the facilities that we actually have. And so, but I was able to use that list to say, hey, we want to take care of our people. And they let us stand up this mobile vaccination team. I have the ability as coordinator to order vaccine based on needs. And we started with senior housing, Meshag, where there was 120 residents that signed up for vaccine. So based on that, I ordered 140 doses of the vaccine. And what I found out is there's 10 doses per vial. And if you carefully draw up the vials, you're able to get 11 doses out of the vials occasionally. So we're able to do that, 9 of the 14 vials. So we're able to actually distribute 149 doses today. People come out of the woodwork up there at Shag. Well, some people missed signing up. Some people didn't understand how it worked. And so we're actually going back tomorrow. I think what the question is getting to also is how are we identifying communities in need that aren't necessarily on this list? And that's where we're looking for help. I reached out to some of the connections I have to say, hey, if there is a community that is impacted by COVID, we're all impacted, but as we know, communities, immigrant communities, low-income communities have been impacted disproportionately. I'm looking for a connection that will introduce us to that community and say, hey, your city of Tukwila vaccination team would love to come in and just provide the vaccination. We're not checking IDs. We don't need any documentation. All we ask for is a way to connect up so they can get their second dose, which is basically an email address. And so we're reaching out to faith-based groups. Through Rotary, I was connected with the Tukwila Pantry, which is an awesome resource. And today was our kickoff day, so I'm still getting teed up for what needs to happen here. But just the reach that the council has, if you know somebody that we maybe could help out, that our mobile team could go and get into and help, certainly I'm the coordinator, I'm the contact for that. Right now, the county controls who can get the vaccine. So, you know, there's the age limit or the type of work that you do. And what I'm trying to do is lobby the county to say, hey, I got an end at, let's say, this house of worship. They have 70 people, and they might not meet the age criteria or anything like that, but their communities are getting disproportionately impacted by COVID. I would like 7 vials to have my team go out and take care of them. And I think the county would be more readily able to approve that if I can say, I've already got my senior housing done, already got my adult family housing done, and our mobile teams are stood up, ready to go. So let's get more vaccine into these communities. Councilmember Quinn, did you have a question for me?
Yeah, I wanted to build off of what Councilmember Edan asked, or actually, no, your presentation. So one, thanks for highlighting 65 or older. That's the target population. You've worked with Shag, and there, I know that there are a couple other senior housing, like Ryan Hill, and a couple other ones that I think it would be good because you got a captive group of folks that maybe you can work with collaboratively with the management of the facility. So that's the only other thing I could think of, is there's clearly some key senior housing facilities in Tukwila, and to build off of what you guys did today, that does, you know, run up that number that you talked about, hey, we went here, here, and here, and you can actually, you know, work with management to confirm, because I think that's part of their requirements of living there. So I just would just raise that. Yeah, there's a couple of what you would think are spaces available that did exactly what you did today.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I agree. That's and there's no better people than our police officers. We were talking to them today. You know, the people that the firefighters are responding to and our police officers, that's another good place to get information saying, hey, have you thought about, you know, this resource center or this building or this area that we go to a lot? And what I'm just looking for, and like you hit it on the head, is I need a contact person. I need somebody to introduce us, and I need, once somebody sees that it's comfortable, we're not checking IDs, we're not doing anything other than providing the vaccine. Once I kind of get, you know, that credibility, and it quite frankly, it's street credibility, right? We are here to just take care of you with the vaccination. I think doors are going to open up. So that's why we're trying to get positioned to have our teams really function well. This is the first day we had four teams stood up. There are some bumps in the road, yeah, but we got them dialed in. And so we really are hitting the ground running. And another thing I found, you mentioned, you know, these the senior centers, these adult family homes. There's about 15 of them, and some of them had contracts for the vaccination, and so they didn't sign up on the county site, but then the contract fell through. They couldn't get the vaccine. And so I'm taking another lap to just introduce myself and say, hey, if, you know, push comes to shove and you can't get the vaccination, give me a call, and our team will show up. And, you know, with Tukwila, that's the way we do things. You know, it's a community effort. It's a lot of, you know, hey, I know somebody, I'm going to text them, and I just want direct people to me, and I'll get them on the agenda and try to help them out.
Go ahead, Zach. You're on mute.
Thank you. I think you said it right. I think it's going to be a community effort. And absolutely, it's about building trust within the community. I think what would be helpful, I think you put a call out to us to make sure that the community that we know, we introduce you. I think it would be great to see what you have at your disposal. What areas are you thinking about? You know, to see if it's on the list, then that's great. And I could say, if you know, let me know. If you don't know anyone, then I could, you know, do a email or phone connection or whatever that is. So we're not, you know, there's no double effort on our part. Second thing I wanted to say was, you know, we have departments that are really have built that trust with some community members. An example that I would use is just our police department has done a really tremendous job on connecting with community, have those relationships. Talking to, Acting Chief Drever and his staff and who you should be talking to, I think that would be really good. So I can think from the Parks Department. Getting those city employees that have really been in the trenches and building that trust would be really essential, I believe, to this effort. The one thing that that I am concerned is the people that are eligible that have not registered. I don't know how to do that unless that they see when you show up their building or their facility or their place of worship, when they see their community or someone that they know that are getting shot, you know, they're getting a vaccination, I believe would motivate to come to a mobile station to say, hey, you know, hi, or I don't know, how do I register? And then that's an opportunity to get that person. So being all of different sites and having that visibility would definitely encourage others that are skeptical or on the fence getting vaccinated, I'm hoping. So having that being open and, you know, and conversing with people when even they're just looking at, I think would be really helpful.
Great information. Thank you.
What does the process look like? For example, when you guys went to SHAG, I don't know what you call the people who operate SHAG, the managers of SHAG, are they the ones that did the groundwork to get people registered and there, or could people simply just show up and sign up on that day?
So I connected with the management of SHAG, sent them a spreadsheet with the basic information I need, because I need to have how many folks do you have, and then I can order through the county the number of vaccines. Now, I ordered a little extra vaccine knowing that there's going to be caregivers and staff and things like that. And even though we had 29 extra doses, we're going back tomorrow. We fell way short because, like I said, there's a lot of people that were gone or didn't understand what was happening. My philosophy, and Chief Whitworth was out there with us today, we talked about our philosophy is it doesn't really matter who registers. It's matter who we can get this vaccine to. The more people we get it to, the quicker herd immunity would come. And so for management, it's a nightmare. It's chaos. But our objective, we set our objective to vaccinate as much of our community as we can. And so, you know, I ran out of vaccine. And that's okay. We told everybody that expected to get one, got one today, and we told them we're going to come back tomorrow. We're lucky that we have a lot of people volunteering to help and jumping on this. But I want to make it easy. Like SHAG's has management. They have, you know, a couple hundred people. What we're really talking about is maybe a place that's not as organized. Like SHAG can email everybody that lives there with one button. Let's say, you know, a community center or something like that that's more loose-knit where they don't have the ability to email everybody. That's where I want to have a connection and say, you know, okay, we're going to be here at noon. About how many people are you going to have? And as I get credibility with the county, I'm sure they'll let me order, you know, a certain number of doses. The big concern, by the way, is waste. It's the vaccine is brittle. It's easy to waste doses, and our goal is to have zero waste. For example, today we had some drawn-up doses that were about to expire. You only have an hour. And so we had to find, you know, warm bodies that could take the vaccine. And that's basically just anybody, people that, you know, could be there in 5 minutes or in the room. And so it is a lot of hustling. And it's like, man, we try to plan it just right, but you know, everybody's working. We had, you know, three or four of these doses, and we literally just looked around the room. Is anybody available that needs the vaccine? And we vaccinate those people. We take all their information, put them onto the county spreadsheet. We send it in, and then the county puts them into the system. So that's a big, long answer to your question, but it shows you it's really kind of a open system. And I'm able to do all the back-end work. So for somebody that doesn't want to do a spreadsheet, doesn't have access to a printer, you know, really doesn't want to deal with any of this, we can be 100% turnkey if they just provide us the location. And we're trying to think of a cool name for this that you know, like a community vaccination site or, you know, just something like that so they know, hey, this is us just taking care of each other. And you know, it's Tukwila. We're able to do this for each other. So let's get it done. And so that's kind of what the plan is. And the actual
vaccination, I could have you done in about 20 minutes total time. That includes a mandatory 15-minute observation time. So it really is a nice, quick system. And you know, if we could have people show up, like Shag bought coffee, you know, really made a nice, you know, for all the volunteers, it was really a cool thing.
That's awesome. And I really hope, and I don't know if this is planned or if it can be planned, and maybe I'll bring it up tonight at the meeting, but it would be great to get the, like Zach was saying, the other some of the other departments within Tukwila to get involved, because it really is a community effort. This is really important, and I'm so happy that you're doing this, and it's really exciting. And like you said, I mean, all these things that you explained in terms of how difficult it is to actually manage this thing, but your value in just being able to get as many people vaccinated as possible in the most, you know, coordinated way that we can. But, you know, there, like Zach was saying, I feel like the work that the Parks Department has done with their pack and play, moving all around the community, building relationships. I mean, I'm thinking about Naisha Fort Brooks, who's done a lot of work around the community as well, the pantry. But I guess from us, like you said, if we could be helpful in getting the word out and connecting you, but also I think it's important that, you know, other areas of the city are involved, who have knowledge, who could help make this as successful as we can.
Yeah, that's a great point. And an example is Acting Chief Drever and Chief Lund from Police Department have been fantastic and as a resource. And just like fire, police can react. They don't need a lot of lead time. And we had vaccines that were going to spoil. They're already drawn up. And just one phone call, we had two civilian police and then two patrol guys show up at Shag. They're talking to all the residents. They came in. It was great. Fire guys giving the police officers a shot. You know, they had their gun belts, all that stuff. It was just a really cool vibe. And I was saying, hey, this is how it works. This is what we're doing. And the police officers started texting their community, and they said the same thing. They said, like, hey, public works, we work with a lot of those people. They should be, you know, way up in the vaccination list. And I was like, you're right. They're the ones that come out when we have a bad accident, we have a fire, when police need something. So our public works people, you know, I want to look at getting them vaccinated before this next big wave. So as you can see, there's a lot of moving parts to this, and my goal is to just be flexible, and I really want to say yes. Somebody calls up, can you help? Yep, that's what we do.
All right. Councilmember Quinn, any Don, do you have any additional questions? All right. Well, thank you so much for all that you're doing and for coming tonight to present to us. This is very exciting.
Oh, that's great. And I'd like to turn back over to Chief Witt, where I believe he has some closing remarks. And thanks again for your support of our mobile vaccination team and the whole COVID response the city's doing. It's outstanding.
Thank you.
So, council members, on our presentation, the last page of our presentation has a couple of links that you can go to. This is the county, what the county supplies to us. And I would just recommend that you go there. It's very, very easy to navigate. You can look at numbers. It's really broken down by area. We don't really have time this evening to go through that, but I just wanted you aware. Thank you for your time. Do you have any further questions?
I click on those links, and the links are broken since you brought it up. Just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. Well, I'll get to the correct links that don't break to all the council members.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I think we are now on the committee work plan. And hopefully you Deshaun and Zach, you guys had time to take a look at it, to let me know and Laurel know your thoughts about the work plan. I know I have a couple thoughts, but I'll just go with Councilmember Quinn and then Councilmember Edan for comments.
I mean, I don't have much more to add other than when we talked about this before. I think it was the traffic calming update. But yeah, looks like we have a lot to work on this year.
Thank you. Councilmember Edan?
Yeah, I think the list is really, it's a lot. But there's a lot of good stuff too, so that's really great. I do want to add the turf field in here if it's possible. And then on the last item, I don't know what that is, and it says TBD, so way back in...
Go ahead,
Go ahead, Laura.
So, Councilmember, the city owns a few properties that are in the form of single-family homes that are given for transitional housing for homelessness prevention, and I think there's... Councilmember Quinn could probably correct me. I think there's three, possibly four homes in Tukwila. And so the city owns the homes, lease it to a nonprofit called the Way Back Inn. And so Stacey Hansen manages those leases and had told me that this committee might have an intersection with them this year. So I'll try to get some more information to get back to you.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going down the list. I don't have a lot of notes. This is going to take a lot of time, but I did want to get your guys' thoughts on these sort of changes. So number 3 and 4, the use of force, policy review, and police reform, let's set updates. I made a note to maybe move this to second quarter. The reason why is I feel like we went over this extensively last year. And also I know that there are some legislative changes that are being considered right now, by the legislature. And I don't know if that's going to impact this, but I'd rather get updates after the legislative session, if that makes sense. So I'll stop there and get others' thoughts. Chief Drever.
Yeah, and we're entirely flexible for whatever meets the council's needs. So whatever you decide is fine with us. So thank you.
Okay. Deshaun, I see you nodding. Zach, do you have thoughts?
No, the rationale makes sense to me. So yeah, I think it makes sense to have it 2 or 2.75.
Okay. With that being said, there's a lot of 2.75 things. One of the number 10 is the green Tukwila updates. I feel like they've been doing a lot of work, and I was wondering if it's possible to move that update up to the first quarter. Because I feel like a lot of what they're going to be doing happens in the spring. But Laurel, go ahead. You look like you're.
Thank you.
No.
I gave you a heads up about this. When we spoke last week, but your forthcoming committee agenda for the second meeting in March is really, it's very busy. And so you're going to be hearing about the Tukwila Pond. You're going to be hearing about the third party fire report. So I think it's possible to have it both ways. We can get a report possibly put into the packet for that meeting, but not plan to spend too much time talking about it, but it could be just, you know, keeping the committee posted in real time, basically, and we can certainly make that happen. I don't know that you're going to be able to get to too much conversation about it at your next meeting.
Okay, that's fine. I'll work. I believe you. I don't want to pack our meetings. I don't like when they go all the way up to 7 and we don't get a break in between. I know how important that is for people to get food and to use the bathroom. I care about you guys. Number 14, I just wanted to let you all know that I'm going to be working with Laurel to come up with general questions. This is for the Prosecution and Public Defense Service review. So I'll work with Laurel on coming up with questions when, and the plan is to have both our contracted public defender and prosecutor come and talk to us just about what they do and for us to be able to ask any questions of them. Number 14, oh, that's fine. I'm not doing anything to change. I put one thing that I thought was missing was the community policing survey. I know that COPCAB is the main driver of that, but maybe just putting a placeholder for it, because, you know, just letting us know, Chief Drever, I'm sure you'll give us an update, but just putting it on here because I think that it's going to be happening this year. Okay. And then the last thing off, that was like the main changes and that I saw. And then one of the things that I was just wondering from the council members is if there's anything that is a bigger priority to you. Because I know there's some things on here that I thought were maybe priorities, such as the Youth Senior Center project updates, community connectors. And then I think that was the main ones. So I don't know what you guys' thoughts are in terms of priorities for you this year.
And this is more just a general question. I mean, yeah, those two things would be a priority, but, you know, I know this is our work plan, so we're going to work through it. So, I would say everybody needs to bring their A game forward for all the items, honestly.
Yeah, I think my concern is we might not get all this next year, so it's good to kind of figure out which ones maybe kind of make sense that we lean on it a bit. I agree. You know, community connectors, I was thinking about that one. 28 looks really good. And then I'm really interested in 13 and 14. And I wasn't on the committee, so last year, number 3 and 4, definitely interested in that. Also the turf field. I think I've said a lot, but I think I could add more in that. But this is a very, very aggressive work plan.
Okay. So I agree with adding the turf field. I know this is something that's come up before, and that's really just, is there an opportunity to, I know that it's in the CIP as well, and there was an opportunity to go out for a grant through King County. Their Parks Department was offering grants. It doesn't seem like we were able to, but it'd be good to just get an update on where we are and talk about any plans that we can put in motion to try and get funding to be able to do that or create opportunities. So I think that I feel good about the feedback. And like you said, we'll work this plan throughout the year and do our best to get through everything. Any last comments before we close this meeting?
No, thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your presentations. Thank you, Laurel. And I will see you guys at 7.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.